to the Snap UK podcast, your home for the NFL news, views and opinions that you need on this side of the pond. With me today at Chateau Farrow, I have a nearly full house. John, Jim, Paul, say hello.
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 We did have a full house until about 5 minutes before kickoff, and then some lazy sod decided not to turn up. Now, this requires some discussion, because I heard that he may have acquired a sexually transmitted disease. And I'd like to point out, he's been on a golfing holiday with nine other blokes. So I'm just saying, something Gary needs to own up to a little bit. He was saying something about having problems with his shaft action over the weekend. I'm guessing that's what it was involving. thank you for joining us for our week five review. Do not forget to check out the website, thesnappodcast.com. And join in with the discussion and debates on Twitter.
At the Snap UK.
I will learn that one day.
It's our name.
It's unlikely.
Week five. You won't let me use Twitter.
A good reason.
Twitter wouldn't let you use Twitter.
That's also fair. Week five gave us a couple of the biggest results of the young season and our first head coach firing. No one saw that coming.
Yay!
Ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome the listeners into this podcast with our very own London game, which pitted first-time Flyers, the Green Bay Packers, against the fast-starting New York Giants. And I want to take this opportunity to apologise to Brian Daboll.
So you
because
should.
I poo-pooed this appointment before the season started. I thought this was not a good move, mainly because he looks a bit like Paul on an off day. I doubted him, and
I'll
I like
that.
But I doubt no more. The Giants, they are for real, and they deservedly triumphed 27-22, riding Saquon and the D all the way home.
Nice.
Jim, you were at this game.
I was, yeah.
As a visiting correspondent.
It was probably the best international series game I've been to for the sake of the atmosphere. Like, fair play to the Packers fans. They travel en masse. And I think it's the international game where I've seen the most of one of a single shirt type. There were Packers fans everywhere. I had to share a cab with them off the Victoria line. Went down, very nice person called Sherman and Amanda. Hello, if you're listening, I did give you the podcast name, so I hope you are. They also paid for my cab, so very, very generous.
Oh.
I know.
Where are Sherman and Amanda when I need a cab?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're saying the podcast is now sponsored by them?
By Sherman and Amanda.
It wasn't the kind of Sherman you'd associate as the Shermanator. He was about twice my size. I had a very firm handshake. This is an amazing atmosphere right up until the end where it continued being an amazing atmosphere, but the Packers fans died down. The Giants fans suddenly found their voice. I didn't even know they were in the stadium until the last 5 minutes. The one thing that stuck out a mile for me with this, because you don't normally get to watch it on TV, you don't get to see the whole field and all the players. It was Aaron Rodgers' body language after in that second half. Like, again, you just knew what was going to happen. As soon as he walked away from a couple of plays that went wrong with his hands on his hips, ignoring everyone, his head down in disgrace, you knew it was over. You knew that the Giants, and this was before the Giants had taken the lead, but you knew that that comeback was on and the Giants, it wasn't even a question in my mind. The Giants were going to win that match because Aaron Rodgers was just not in it mentally anymore.
Well, we make a big point around, is this Brady's last season? It is, of course. But I think
he hasn't got those home issues to worry about anymore.
Well, that's true. I mean, enough four more years. I think this could be Rodgers' last season.
I agree. I 100% agree. I didn't doubt Dave. I thought it was an inspired hire. I really liked it. The one thing that obviously is keeping the Giants in these games is the defense. I think they're playing absolutely brilliantly, and I think that's highlighted by Xavier McKinney, the safety. You know, the last couple of years under Joe Judge, he never blitzed McKinney at all. Never blitzed him, even though during his time at Alabama, Nick Saban loved blitzing safeties. Daboll's come in with Wink Martindale taking over the defensive coordinator, and suddenly you're seeing safety blitzes. And that's eventually what got Rodgers on that last game, was Xavier McKinney's blitz. But it comes back to, you know, ensuring you're writing a game plan based on the talents of the players that you've got on your squad, and that's what they're doing. And they're getting just enough out of each and every one of them to be able to win games like this.
There's a lot of players on the Giants roster who, I'm going into this as a Giants fan, so forgive me.
Give the obvious bias.
But seeing the coverage before the game, you know, the much maligned Daniel Jones going in with no receivers. Darius Slayton's looked really good the last few seasons.
He's been really quiet this year, though. This was his first proper performance. First time him and Jones have had a connection this season. So, which is good because...
We needed it.
We needed it. But when he was, when it was required, he was there. And like through the last few weeks, they've been sort of using receivers selectively, which has annoyed Golladay, despite the fact that he's shit. But yeah, it was brilliant. And as well, I think they were this season. Jones has 300 pass attempts, not 300 pass plays. Like 200 of them have been play action, wheeling out to the right. They know that the fact that if he's not a pocket passer, they know they're playing to his limitations, which is what is. I mean, it's just good coaching. I mean, yeah, we know that
it is.
We know that this is probably his last year as a starter in New York. He's gonna get through the season, but they are getting there with a player, and they are playing to what his skill set is. He is not a breeze, you know, player who's gonna sit in the pocket, pick, because if you give him time to think, it's when he makes mistakes. But wheeling, you know, when he wheels out to the right and he's sort of, you know, playing sort of like fast and loose, he's actually really quite good.
He had his best statistical game on Sunday. He had 21 completions off 27, 217 yards. Didn't have any touchdowns, but he also didn't have any interceptions. Like, and when you've got Barkley, who's also kind of doubling up as a wildcat quarterback, it's just finding ways to win, and that's what Dable's doing.
And we made a big point that Daniel Jones needs to stop the fumbling, and he stopped fumbling.
Only Sean Watson had done that. Mm. It's your best start since 2009.
Good.
Yeah.
And it's also equaled your win tally from last year. Just got to point that out for you to cheer you up.
But not just last year. Probably
three of the last 4 years, I think.
And we've still got the Commanders to play twice.
Jesus.
The only thing for me that I would nail as a slight issue is that your team will go as Saquon goes. If he goes down injured, your season is over.
Yeah.
I hope it's the same with any team. I mean, we are a better team because Xavier McKinney got injured at the last season. Saquon was injured last season. You know, you take the 49ers. The 49ers are looking better because half their team isn't in the treatment room anymore.
Yeah, the Steelers.
We're catching up.
Yeah. Steelers, you would say, are a brilliantly run franchise. They've lost TJ Watt and they are shit. They're not. Every team has that. If the player is that good, they become bad.
You'd say Saquon's in the top three or four of players that are far better than the team they're on. Because of the rest of the offensive side of the ball. I'm not talking about your defense. Your defense is one of the best in the league. But in terms of scoring points,
he elevates the
team. Saquon. Yes.
But we also had a top ten tackle at the draft. And we also had a first round tackle.
Both your bookend tackles are top 10 picks. And they're playing well, and so they should. They're good players. And I think, you know, we said, I said probably towards the end of last year, beginning of this year, write this season on because it could be quite painful. Write the season off, sorry, because it could be quite painful in terms of there's going to be roster turnover in terms of the GM was new, head coach was new. We're not sure what's going to happen with Daniel Jones. There still is a lot of kind of deadwood there. If you think, you know, Golladay is probably one of them, but they got rid of a load of it. Carry on this vein of form, and suddenly I'm bringing in one or two extra players who are either through free agency or through the draft. One of those could be a quarterback. You know, suddenly this team does look really strong again.
Well, I heard rumours that a wideout who'd previously played for us had visited us this week when Landon Collins did.
Beckham's interested now because you're a winning team again. Yeah. Let's not hide that.
Oh,
why would you go to the Rams right now?
Why wouldn't you go to somewhere like the Bills?
He wants to be the star.
He wants to be the star, and he knows he's not going to play for a few weeks anyway. You know, just put yourself out there. You know, it's a hype machine. That's what he's about. He played for nothing last year. He played for fucking crypto, didn't he?
The Giants have played in London three times, never lost. Yep. And they are the first NFL team to travel abroad three times and win in three different stadiums.
Oh, yeah.
Tottenham, Twickenham and Wembley.
Forgot about Twickenham.
Yeah, see? I didn't forget. Here's the big question then. can you beat the Ravens with Lamar Jackson next week? Can your defense hold up against the Lamar Jackson show?
Well, what I see is the Ravens will go to a massive lead in the first half and then lose on a field goal in the last 2 minutes.
It seems entirely possible.
The Ravens are just so frustrating as a team. I know we'll talk about them later in their game, but I don't like being quietly confident as a Giants fan.
I'm not quietly confident, but because I think the Ravens are a very good team. But I don't dread Sundays anymore.
That's the loneliest thing I've ever heard on this podcast.
It's a fucking lovely game.
I think it's probably, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's probably moved from we're probably going to lose that to we've got a chance.
We've got a chance here, yeah.
Always got a chance. Yeah. Right. The NFC East suddenly seems to be really, really good.
It
Cooper
is.
Rush is now 5-0 as a starter all time. Do you want to have a go at naming the 14 quarterbacks that have started their careers 5-0 as starters?
Kurt Warner.
Big Ben.
Go on.
Dan Marino.
Keep going.
John Elway.
Keep going.
Thomas
Patrick
Brady.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Bledsoe.
No.
Drew Brees.
So far you've got Patrick Mahomes,
yeah.
Roethlisberger, Kurt Warner, and that's it.
Philip Rivers.
No. Some of these you will never in a million years. I mean, I can.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes, Jimmy Garoppolo is one of them because he's, you know, class.
Lamar?
No.
And Jimmy Garoppolo had been in the league 5 years when he was, when he was a starter.
Cooper Rush has been around since 2018.
Yeah.
Here's one that Giants fans should have got.
Eli?
Hostetler.
Jeff Hostetler, thank you very much. Eli is not in the list, don't be silly. Very famous Raiders quarterback.
Plunkett?
No.
Carlos.
Sounds like a musical instrument.
Jeff Guitar.
Dave Saxophone.
Stabler.
Daryl LaMonica. Come on now. I couldn't have given that any more beans if I tried. There's some here that you're never, ever going to get. So Mike Livingston, Mike Krzyzewski, Dieter Brock, Mike Tomaszek, and then...
These aren't real players.
Yeah, some that you could have got. Dante Culpepper. Yeah, Mark Bulger.
I mean, he was at the Rams.
He was at the Rams. And
he replaced Kurt Warner.
One who is currently still a backup in the league. I think
Matt Schaub.
No longer. He's definitely played for the Panthers and the what was not the Commanders, but what they were before. One of three quarterbacks in the league at the same time with the same surname.
McCown.
No. Kyle Allen. Won his first 5 starts.
That's when he was at the Panthers, wasn't it? Because he was replacing the last parts of Cam.
Yeah, well, and that's it. So, what I was getting at is, Cooper Rush has been quite good. He steered the Cowboys through this game. He actually did nothing outstanding at all. He just didn't lose the game for them. Cowboys beat the Rams 22-10. And the Rams seem to be carrying the Super Bowl hangover that's normally reserved for the team that lose quite dramatically. This is a different team.
This is a 2-day hangover. This is been throwing up the whole of the first day.
This is a hangover you have when you hit 36.
Yeah.
And it's like...
And you went out pretending you'd be 21.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jim, you wish you could remember what it was like to be 36.
How good was Andrew Whitworth? I know.
Apparently he was playing quarterback, cornerback. He was doing everything.
I mean, the Cowboys just set the scene from what play one when Lawrence just destroyed him, destroyed Stafford, and you know got in for the touchdown. It was you're like I just can't believe that the Rams have gone from Super Bowl winning to this just so. Quickly, it's the offensive line is scary, but for all the wrong reasons.
There's some pretty dodgy tackling as well. Like Tony Pollard's touchdown run. I think I counted about 5 missed tackles.
Yeah,
and, we mentioned Debo Samuel's run against them last week, which almost won Sweetest Player of the Week. But that, again, more missed tackles, and it seems to be a bit of a running theme again. For the Rams, where they're not playing well on defense, and they're not playing well on offense.
The worst defending champions in a full season, because the Niners played a 9-game season as champions. They don't count. 1981 Raiders started the following season after winning the 80 Super Bowl with 3 straight shutouts. Well, with the aforementioned Jim Plunkett under centre. Yeah. No. But something near the Ravens, who after the 2012 title went 8-8 the following season, and Flacco led the league in interceptions after that massive contract. This is not good for the Rams. They don't look capable of turning it around.
As well as pass protection, that offensive line isn't playing well in the rushing game. And a lot is put on Cam Akers not being good enough, but it's down to the offensive line as well. If there aren't any holes there for him to run through, what do you want the guy to do? He had 13 carries for 33 yards, 2.5 yards per carry.
I've never rated the guy.
I never feel like he's had a chance. Like, he was his rookie year last year, and he was injured for most of it.
It might be rookie year before. But he finished the season injured. I feel for Akers, because the last two games you've had Dallas, who that defensive front seven is pretty special. And before that, you had San Francisco. Yeah, and like, that's also pretty good front seven.
Statistically, the two best defenses in the league at the moment, where both teams are giving up around about a touchdown a game.
He also played the Bills, you know, so he was going up against, you know, can't remember the other teams they played. I'm just looking them up now. But they beat the Cardinals, but they only put 20 points on the Cardinals.
And the Falcons.
One of the biggest problems that got missed last year was that Stafford led the league in interceptions, and he's doing it again.
Yeah.
Now, this is a very Matt Stafford thing to do. The problem is, if the rest of the team is not functioning, you're not going to get away with the chuck and duck offense that he wants to play, because you won't be able to make up the points that you're giving away. So, as much as I really like Matt Stafford, this season it's not working. It was perfect last year because he just kept doing it and they won more of those plays than they lost. But this year, without Beckham and without...
Edwards.
Yeah, they are struggling. And I just don't see a quick fix on this roster. It's not like bringing Beckham back suddenly makes this better this time. I don't think. And the defense isn't as good.
And the problem is they've given away a lot of their draft capital over the last couple of years. It's like they still haven't got that much to spend. Like, we'll come on and talk about it later, but you know, there's rumors of a fire sale coming out at Panthers. You know, great, go out and get Christian McCaffrey. You won't get able to afford him based on what the draft capital you've got.
But that
type of player might loosen up things in terms of opposing defenses.
Well, apparently I've heard he might be going to the Eagles.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Fucking hell.
I mean,
wow, that's what they mean.
They have got the draft capital to do something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, elsewhere in the NFC East, Philadelphia remain undefeated, beating the Cardinals 20-17, thanks to Matt Amendola, Matt Prater's replacement, managing to slice wide on a last gasp field goal try. The Eagles impressively remaining undefeated, 5-0. This is the earliest in NFL history there's only been one team left undefeated.
Yeah.
They look difficult to stop, because Hurts didn't throw any touchdowns this week, but he rushed for two more. The whole rushing game, even without CMC, is already the best in the league. This team, I think, can only get better.
Yeah. Sad, isn't it?
More to the point, do you want to discuss the fact that Arizona were crap again?
At least they were in this game. But they didn't seem to be.
Did you ever believe they were going to win it?
No. You can't say they're crap, and then they were a kick away from leveling it.
But this team should be so much better than they are. What are they, 2-3 now? Yep. They're mired in with the other 14 2-3 teams.
They've not won a home game in 50 weeks. They are 0-8 in the last 8 home games.
But if they get through this week,
then they get D-Hop back.
And that's a game changer. And with the Rams sucking dick, and the other team in that division.
The Rams are not in that division.
They're at the Seahawks next week.
That could be quite fun, actually.
I mean, I don't want to spoil what's coming up, but I'll take the Seahawks over the Cardinals at the moment. Absolutely.
Well, I probably would as well. They're a better coach team.
My thing with the Cardinals is, I don't know why they aren't using Rondell Moore more.
Do you mean Rondell Moore?
Moore. So good they named him twice. I don't know why they're not using Rondell Moore
in a different capacity.
Are they not putting a greater emphasis on them?
That's it, yeah.
On the play that Rondell Moore could provide.
Exactly. But no.
You know, we've been doing this podcast too long.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
One more. More. but yeah, they're using him like jet sweeps and stuff like that. But like every so often, like when they throw him the ball, he has a good game.
He's actually very good. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I've got no one to throw to. You've got an absolutely rapid.
He had 7 receptions for 68 yards, 9.7 yards a catch, 8 targets.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like they've only just realised in the last week, oh yeah, we've got Rondell Moore. like he's really, really fast and can actually give us some separation. Matt Rhule is the only reason
Cliff Kingsbury's
He's not the first person fired.
I was gonna say, I'll tell you why they're not using Rondell Moore is because of Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Who can't coach.
He's got a great house.
He's got a lovely house. He's got, you know, he's a lovely looking man, but he can't coach at this level. And I'd probably argue he can't coach at the college level based on his record as well. The danger is that the Cardinals have got this habit of starting off strong usually, and then tailing off towards the end of the year. They've started shit.
Got to meet.
They also this week decided not to throw the ball to Greg Dortch, who's been really good most of the time. Yeah, they didn't throw the ball to him this week. It's very strange. I told you before the season started, I don't like Kyler like everyone else does. Added with Cliff Kingsbury, it just doesn't work for me.
I don't mind Kyler. I don't like the contract they gave him. But
I think
Cliff Kingsbury, it's just gone wrong.
I think you can get more out of Kyler with a different coach.
Yes.
Absolutely. Like me, for instance. Right.
Maybe.
Elsewhere in the Philadelphia division, the NFC East, the Commanders once again proved barely capable of commanding their own bowels, let alone the Tetons. Carson Wentz threw a pick from the 1 yard line with just seconds on the clock, and Derrick Henry trounced the Washington defense with 132 scrimmage yards and 2 touchdowns. This one finished 21-17, but you never really believe Washington were going to win this game.
That running back got shot in the arse 5 weeks ago.
Yeah. And how many yards did he get? The bone in one, they
22.
Made it 22 yards on 9 carries. Yes. They made him immediately the lead running back and ignored Antonio Gibson entirely.
I just don't get it.
No,
I really don't.
Nobody gets
Antonio Gibson's not that bad.
It's not that. Ron doesn't like him because of the fumble issues. But he's clearly right now a better running back. Robinson might be.
He might be great, but he just got
shot in the ass. I mean, I don't know how else to put that.
Yeah. I mean, quite frankly,
it's a strange decision to give him all the carries and then just go, oh, he only got 22 yards.
Ron Rivera is a very good quality NFL level coach.
Mm. Yes.
But to play a man who was shot in the ass 5 weeks ago and then at the press conference, absolutely throw your quarterback under the bus. I mean, like, not even throw, like,
he reversed the bus up.
Yeah,
he really did. Would you like to tell us what he said?
Carson Wentz is an ass.
Not shot in the ass, just.
What
ass.
Did he actually say? Remember?
They asked him what is your team's weakest position? What sets the other teams in the division apart from our team? Mm. Quarterback. when you think it's Daniel Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the thing. We got Daniel Jones, the guy in Philadelphia that Jim thinks can't throw the ball.
The MVP frontrunner, you mean?
The MVP frontrunner.
I've kind of turned around on that. I've done a Liz Truss and had a massive U-turn on that one.
Yeah, so. and a ginger backup for the Cowboys.
And I wrote an article for the website, by the way, it's live. The Commanders currently are committing the third amount of most of cap space to their quarterback room. Carson Wentz takes up 13.2% of their cap. And then they've got Tyler Heineke and Sam Howell, who have a combined 2%.
I saw something online which said, I read that clearly. They say a lot of fans online say they should shut him down and just give Howell the ball. Just see what happens.
He's injured.
He was injured. I don't know if he may be coming back now. But, I like Tyler Heineke. I'd have just played him. I don't think he's any worse than Carson Wentz.
We said it right at the beginning of the season. Carson Wentz started really well. We said he's going to have a few good games and then he's going to be Carson Wentz again.
He had one good game.
maybe one and a half.
I'll finally upload my quarterback power rankings to the website this week. But I've been promising.
And number one is Joe Montana.
But in week one, Carson Wentz was 11th because actually he had a really great
Why were we week one power rank in the quarterbacks?
Well, I've done it all season. Just
it's like, it's like 32 Gary, mystery
like
boxes.
He is, in the past.
He is now 30th.
Yeesh.
It's hardly a surprise.
He's behind Baker Mayfield.
And he's injured.
Who's injured. And shit.
Wow.
Also, just to note, the NFC East at the moment is 14-6. 2 years ago, it was the
dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire. How quickly that changed?
But that's the whole point of this league, is there's supposed to be the ability to at least have parity, if nothing else.
The AFC, the much lauded AFC West, is 9-9.
Let's ride.
Through five games, Derrick Henry has 408 rushing yards already.
Somebody showed me a video, which I'd like to share with you to put on the website.
Is it
on social media? I'll play you at the break. It's basically the video of Russell Wilson with the Subway sandwich.
Oh, I've said it. It's maniacal.
Really?
No, but
he's murdered whoever.
It's him as the Joker in The Dark Knight, and it's wonderful. And I'll share it with you.
Yeah, thank
you.
We will put that on the website. Just all right, shits and giggles.
A couple of tight games there. Let's talk about a game that wasn't close ever. Steelers 3, Bills 38. The Kenny Pickett dream start was not to be, as Allen and co carved the Steelers secondary apart, starting with a 98-yard touchdown on their first series of the game. This one was over before halftime. Where do the Steelers go from here, and how do you stop the Bills? They are the two big questions, because the Bills' only loss so far was an upset against the Dolphins, and it was an upset. And a blip.
But you can't say how could you stop the Bills when the thing that was stopping them was a rusty open gate this week. I mean, the Steelers.
Absolutely. But this could have been a bigger beatdown. They brought Case Keenum in the fourth quarter.
Case Keenum is very underrated.
Yeah, fine. But
at halftime, Josh Allen was on for 700 yards.
Four touchdowns already.
He was only just shy of the record for the most yards in the first half.
Yeah.
Like, every time you hear Norm Van Brocklin's name
mentioned. There's not enough Norms these days, is there?
But yeah, I made a thing of it on Twitter. Like, I've been saying for weeks, Gabe Davis is fucking shit.
I thought that was Gary posting that.
No, it was me. Oh, right. It was me. Gary was at home on his £5,000 mattress.
It's an expensive mattress.
But first two plays, 170 yards, two deceptions, two touchdowns. It's like Vandy Moss figures that.
Gabe Davis's last six games, including the playoffs, 21 catches, 551 yards, seven touchdowns.
That's quite impressive.
Six games.
And he's still rubbish.
not worth picking up. Why did you pick him up?
Yeah, but he also gets games where he scores like two fantasy points.
He has been injured for the start, but I mean,
people do spend too much time judging players based on fantasy.
Exactly.
He will now draw coverage, and other players will score. You'll
like
get Diggs
Stephon
back.
Diggs, yeah.
So
and they were missing Isaiah McKenzie as well, who's their third wide receiver. He's had a couple of good games.
Yeah, he was very good against the Rams.
Yeah.
I know TJ Watt is missing, but this defense is shocking anyway. Like it's not good. They did nothing against the Bills. Literally nothing. There isn't a single defensive stat recorded that's worth talking about.
Two tackles for loss.
Tackles for loss, eh?
Are they still paying Ryan Shazier?
Probably. They should bring him back.
Should have done a better job.
No one else did anything.
I mean, for years, I think I've been sort of turning around on Minka Fitzpatrick saying, actually, he's good. But the more I watch him, the more I think, actually, if he's not making deceptions, he's doing nothing.
It's Jamal Adams, boom or bust.
Yeah, exactly. You need basically where do the Steelers go from here? I've got to assume like voodoo to bring TJ Watt back, because otherwise this team sucks. And isn't it going to be? I mean, Tomlin's never been under 500 in his 15 years.
This was the first game in what is a tough schedule now. Yeah. I mean, they've got the Bucks, Dolphins, Eagles, Saints, Bengals, and then they've got a gimme against the Colts.
But, I mean, maybe, you know,
maybe not by then.
I know, even by then.
And the Steelers play down against
bad
opponents as well, so fuck it out.
Are we going to get to the point? Trust me, this may seem like a non sequitur, but you remember when Robin Van Persie got injured for Arsenal and he ended up being sent to Serbia to have horse placenta rubbed into him? When are we going to get to that point with TJ Watt?
I think we're there. He's currently in a horse. He's like that scene from Star Wars where he cuts open some sort of camel and crawls inside.
Did you see, once again, it's a non sequitur, but Emerson Royale at Tottenham, he spent...
Jesus Christ.
He spent £500,000 on a hyperbaric chamber to aid his fitness recovery so he could play the North London Derby. Played 60 minutes and got sent off. It's the worst purchase ever made.
The best thing to come out of the Steelers camp was the wide receiver, George Pickens,
yes,
shoving the defensive back on the line of scrimmage so far out of his shoes.
But this isn't the first time he's done that.
No, it's at least the second that I've seen this season. And I believe he did it in college as well. He properly just leans in and shoves the guy down. They've got some pieces. Kenny Pickett will be fine.
Yeah.
But this is not the game to evaluate him on.
It's too soon, but...
There's no going back, is what I'm getting at. They're not going back to Trubisky.
That's why they should have...
They might.
Start Trubisky.
Only because the offensive line is so bad, he may get hurt.
Well, forgive me, I'm not an NFL coach, but you may have noticed.
What?
Hang on. I thought you were Brian Daboll in disguise.
It's the Giants outfit. It's a surprise, isn't it? But surely you'd have played Trubisky because he was there last season. Surely he would have known something about those defensive players.
There's a lot of logic there.
There is. But you'd think he'd be able to sort of broadcast that information inside the team meetings without actually... He's still a team captain, by the way. They didn't demote him from team captaincy, even though he's not starting.
Well, apparently he's not allowed to call audibles.
Trubisky.
Pickett is, but Trubisky had to do the plays he was told. If he didn't like it, he basically was like, okay, I've just got to be hit then.
I mean, to be fair, based on his time in Chicago, I get that.
But, I mean, it's just going in, showing, you're the guy, but you've got to play with one hand behind your back.
But does that show he hasn't got the intelligence to understand the playbook? It's like, okay, Mitch, you're going to need to pass.
It's a processing thing. It's not how he played in college, and I don't think he's ever picked up the speed required to process the playbook on the field. So he's told this is what you've got to play, and they hope that it's the right call.
Yeah.
Look, he's not the only one. There are a lot of quarterbacks who get that. They're not all Peyton Manning. They're not all audibling at the line.
Oh, God, that was always a joy between
all. It was.
Oh, my heart. Right.
Do you miss Peyton Manning?
Speaking
sometimes?
Of which, well, I mean, I do watch some of the Manning cast. It is funny. They are pretty funny.
Did you see it the other day where I think that he was demonstrating the wristband?
Yeah.
And he just rolled off a play. And he's like, yeah, he's still got it up top, but, you know,
His arms are just not going to let him. Right. If you thought that was an impressive win, though, the Bills weren't the best thing about the AFC East on Sunday. That honour was reserved for the Jets, who put 40 points on a team for the first time since the middle of 2018. Sam Darnold.
I'm surprised it's not longer ago.
Sam Darnold. They did it twice in 2018, and then you had to go back to 2008. Yeah. I think something like that. They trounced the unfortunate Dolphins, who lost their quarterback for the second straight week and incurred a safety on the play to boot.
Yeah.
What? I mean, I don't understand why. I understand why they lost their quarterback, but I don't understand why, because I've watched it a few times. So I don't think there was anything wrong with
well,
the guy.
Well,
it's because
he stumbled.
He stumbled, and that is if the spotter spots a stumble.
How has it fallen to the guy with the speech impediment to try and explain that? The live audience in the house.
Part of the new procedures is there's a spotter. There's
a stop spotter. Speaking in alliteration!
That's their fucking name! They're a spotter!
What did they spot?
Stumbles. And he stumbled. So
he did.
He told him, fuck off.
He stumbled and he may have injured his elbow as well. So he may have been out regardless.
But he passed the concussion protocol.
Yeah, he did.
So why can they bring him back?
Because he stumbled. And that's the...
All right, Macy Gray, calm down.
The problem is, this is karma taking hold in a big
way.
Because 2 weeks ago, the Dolphins went, sod that concussion protocol, put Tua back out there. And ever since then, it's all gone completely to tits. Because they've now lost Tua and Teddy in consecutive weeks. They're now playing...
Skylar Thompson,
who... He was very nondescript. He wasn't awful. He wasn't brilliant. He was just there. That's the best you can say about him.
Life form at quarterback.
He's better than Kendall Hinton.
You're better than Kendall Hinton.
But Skylar Thompson is a quarterback.
Yeah. to be fair.
Might have given Tyreek Hill a go there.
Also true. So the Dolphins slipped from 3-0 to 3-2. It's not time to panic, but if Teddy or Tua are missing for more than another week, it might be.
So I'd like to, while I can enjoy it, be magnanimous and, reserved. I told you about the Jets. I told you.
3-2 for the first time since 2017 under...
Who is the highest...
Bowles.
Ryan Fitzpatrick was what I was going to say.
Who is the highest graded PFF quarterback from the draft class of last year?
At the moment, Zach Wilson.
Yes, comfortably.
Because?
The others are shit.
Because Mac Jones isn't playing, but yeah, okay. Trevor Lawrence is playing, yeah.
Yeah, and Zach Wilson is outperforming him.
Yes, yes he is.
They have a great roster. They have a passionate head coach. They
have a young roster.
Yeah. And also, that division has some...
sucky teams.
Yes.
I don't disagree with you. I can't... I've already conceded on our bet. I can't disagree with what you're saying. I
wouldn't be...
I would also say this. Zach Wilson could be very streaky like Sam Darnold. He is Sam Darnold 2.0. It will be the same. He will throw four or five interceptions in a game in the next 3 or 4 weeks at some point.
He has parts of an O-line, unlike Darnold.
True. That is true.
Apparently, what with his form, apparently Giselle is a friend of his mum.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying he might get distracted by the end of the season.
To be fair, why not?
No, who wouldn't?
I think that's fair. We should be praising the Jets for what they've achieved.
Yep.
And also bearing in mind they've achieved nothing yet. They are the two things with the Jets. Because if you told me any team could be 3-2 and finish the season at, I don't know.
3-14.
The
Jets have a winning record.
They do.
That's all I will say.
Don't forget in 2017 they went 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs because they fluffed the final game.
When?
2017, the last time they were 3-2.
Who was quarterback for them then?
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Were you not
still
listening?
Literally 2 minutes ago.
I know, honestly, some people. Right.
Gary.
Elsewhere in the same division, the Patriots finally gave us something to cheer about if you're a Patriots fan. Cooked up something special for Jared Goff. I like that, by the way.
Yeah.
And the Lions, holding the leading scorers in the league to 0 points. 29-0, this score. Bailey Zappe was back. But this one was all about Dr. Dre, because it's Dre. No? Okay. It looks better written down. Ramondre Stevenson, you see? Never mind. It appears the Lions still have a long way to go. The Patriots only have one way to win, and Damian Harris is now out for multiple weeks. So that way may have to change.
It didn't matter. Literally, you could have won this without taking offensive snaps. You were that dominant on defense.
They really were. Now, let's also bear in mind that the Lions were the top scorers and giving away the most points.
Yes.
We know they don't have a defense, so we won't read too much into it. But Zappe doesn't appear to be a massive downgrade over Mac Jones this season. But
he's a massive upgrade over Hoye.
But they do have a decent defense. Aiden Hutchinson is like the star.
They were on course to concede the most points ever.
And Cole Strange, your rookie tackle, 26 offenses, 26 snaps.
Yeah.
How many times was he pressured?
Every time?
Zero.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's great.
The offensive line this week
gelled.
Was
over the last 2 weeks, it has. Because we, let's be fair, should have beaten the Packers last week.
Shock horror. The Patriots are a well-coached team by the best coach in the league.
And he's picked up a cornerback out of nowhere. And
who is something amazing.
Turned him into amazing.
Rumour has it he spent a lot of time with Bailey Zappe before the season in what other players have described as they used to see him spend time with Tom Brady like that. He seems to like the guy.
Who was the first person that arrived on Monday, went through his research, he's been getting on with the coaches.
It's Brady, because he hasn't had any time at home.
It's Zappe. Zappe, they've been impressed with his ethic. It's almost kind of Mac Jones-esque and Brady-esque. And it's what...
The point is there's no discernible drop-off at the moment. Over the game and a half that he's played, or the game and three quarters that he's played, he's an upgrade on Brian Hoyer, and on this season's version of Mac Jones, he's no downgrade.
So is Kendall Hinton.
He's an upgrade on Brian Hoyer.
Don't forget, Brian Hoyer started last week.
An upgrade on Brian Hoyer is like such a tallest dwarf.
best looking person on the Burns unit. That's sort of
thing. It's like it's such a congratulations on having teeth. You know, it's like he can grow hair.
All right, you're not the person who should be digging at that.
And I have a luscious second beard. On it.
You do have a luscious beard. Well, I was pleased. We have two wins. We're catching the Jets up. It's going to be fine. So, speaking of the Lions, they are rooted to the bottom of the NFC North, a division led by the Vikings, did say that would happen, who overcame a late scare to top the Bears 22-29.
Quarter of a way through the
season.
Hey, I called it. Thanks to a game-clinching strip and recovery by Dantzler. Justin Fields has shown some growth in the last couple of games, but this roster is very poor. And it should not have been this close. The Vikings doing it again.
That's what worries me about the Vikings.
Cannot put teams away.
They went out to a very fast start. I think Kirk Cousins completed his first, 17
passes.
17 passes, yeah. and he looked amazing.
And then he didn't complete any of the next six or seven, something silly
and
like
then
that.
It all started to fade away, and suddenly you're kind of left with winning 29-22, and they were in a position they could have lost this game, which against a Bears team who are crap, it is a bit of an embarrassment.
The Bears is the worst roster in the league.
It absolutely is. And the Texans is close. It's a coin flip between the two.
But at least the Texans have rookies who you can understand, like Davis Mills, Stingley. You can see they've got something. The Bears have Justin Fields.
Justin Fields probably had his best game of the season.
Justin Fields and 52 bags of skin.
David Montgomery is back, but you didn't really do that much.
Darnell Mooney.
He was good in the passing game.
Yes, he was. You're right, sorry.
Darnell Mooney had a brilliant catch.
He really did. He did, because I let him go in fantasy. So, of course, he was good this week.
But for me, it felt very much...
It's annoying when, in my work league, I've got the same quarterback as Griff. You're like, no shit, need to change it.
Yes, do change that. Whatever it is.
Sorry, Paul.
It felt very much like the Lions... It didn't feel like the Bears were coming back into it. It felt like the Vikings were letting them into it.
Yes, absolutely. That is exactly what happened. Justin Jefferson has 301 yards receiving in the last two games, though. After he had a quiet couple of weeks of 48 and 14, he suddenly decided to turn up again.
12 reception of 13 targets.
It is incredible.
The guy's a monster.
The Vikings will always do this to us. They are never going to bury teams. But we should not underestimate the fact that this division isn't dominated like it used to be.
No, you say that. I mean... Back in the Mike Zimmer days, I'd completely agree with you. But this should be a new regime. This should be a new start for them. They should be. They
it's
should
like the Chargers. Things
the
just don't change for some teams.
I saw them ranked in power rankings online. I saw the Vikings ranked top three.
Bullshit.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I like them, but I'm not on board.
I had them in the top 10, and I thought that was fair. But
I nearly threw up on my phone.
What, because of that? Or something
else? I couldn't take it.
That's bullshit.
You'll never guess. Oh, we'll get to the power rankings later.
Gary
had the highest. He's got me in the top five.
I did not have them that high.
But he's a fucking idiot that's currently sitting at home on his £6,000 mattress.
Eating our sweets.
Eating our sweets.
Supplied by our sponsor, Toot Sweet, by the way. I just like to point that out. Because, of course, he is.
Yeah.
With his sexually transmitted disease from his golfing holiday. Ridiculous. Right. Let's haul out into the break by rounding out the AFC North. Sunday night's main event pitted the 2-2 Bengals against the 2-2 Ravens. And if you have Justin Tucker, you can pencil in a few extra wins each season. He now has 61 consecutive fourth quarter or overtime field goals, which is a record. This one has ended 17-19, which... I mean, on paper, it looks like a close game. It was, but you didn't actually believe the Bengals could win.
No.
I really didn't think. It always looked like, Lamar sooner or later was going to catch fire. He didn't actually do a great deal till the last quarter. And then he just unleashed it, which is standard, really. Makes a change for the Ravens not to throw it away this season.
No. I mean, up into this game, they'd been behind 17 seconds.
Yeah. 17 seconds over the whole season, 2-2. Madness. Right now, if I told you one of last year's Super Bowl contenders won't make at least the championship game in their respective conference, which one doesn't make it? Rams or Bengals?
Right now, I'm going to go Rams.
Rams are worse than the Bengals.
Yeah.
But both of them have so much work to do.
I also think it's the Rams.
The Bengals will traject upwards.
Will what?
Traject. They have an upward trajectory.
Is that part of the Demetric scale? Just thought I'd, we haven't had much of that this season.
I still love the fact that that Demetric is measured in yards. I still can't get over that. Love it.
Demetric Fulton.
This game, however, low scoring compared to the Browns game. They faced the Chargers and led for all but a handful of minutes throughout. But Brissett's third interception of the season, all of which have been in the final 3 minutes of the games they've lost, and Cade York's two failed field goals were their undoing.
Can I just say, it feels like the gods are swinging in the favour of the Chargers, because they, for whatever they try to do, they keep trying to charge it up.
Yeah.
And they keep failing. Like Brandon Staley on that fourth down call.
That was so
absolutely should not have gone for that. I know it was only, what was it, fourth one?
Yeah. Like,
punt it. It's such a simple call. He's out of his mind. Like, if it, they'd have lost this
game. So Keenan Allen, who wasn't playing, had tweeted, "What the fuck are we doing?"
Yeah. And so they're going out of their way to, and like, there's been a couple of games where they should have lost.
Yeah.
And the old Chargers would have lost. No matter what Staley tries to do, they somehow keep winning.
Austin Eckler had his record game, 173 rushing yards on 16 attempts.
Yeah.
10.8 yards a carry.
That Browns defense looks soft, both in terms of, like, you can score points on them and you can run through them.
And but so does the Chargers.
So does the Chargers. But, I mean, the Browns have gone out and traded for linebacker Deion Jones from the Falcons this week.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to
straight after the game.
They had to do something because, you know,
Nick Chubb, 134 rushing yards.
Yeah.
Just there's too much voodoo with these teams, because the Browns are always going to, like, suck. And
if any game was just going to be decided by a missed kick, it's the Chargers Browns,
because fair point, actually.
Whichever team was going to make the play at the end was going to fuck it up. And you looked at it and went, oh, when the, you know, the Chargers went full Chargers and missed on a 4th and 1, you're like, well, fair enough. You know, Chargers got a Charger. And then you remembered, oh, no, it's the fucking Browns, isn't it?
So Cade York. Mm. I want to make a point of Cade York. I always feel they are too quick to release kickers.
Mm.
This guy isn't very good.
Well, I don't know. He was 8 of 8 coming into this game.
Yeah.
He started off the season well.
4 of 4 in the opening game of the season.
Yeah.
He's missed vital kicks for this team that other kickers would have got.
He had a bad week.
Yeah,
I think teams are too quick to get rid of kickers.
Oh, I agree, but this isn't his first bad game in the 5 they've had.
But they did draft him, so they're not likely to get rid of him.
Well, you look what happened with Daniel Carlson.
Robert,
you look what happened with Young Hae Koo.
Are we pronouncing that differently every week? I mean, Young Hae Koo.
Why?
Don't do that. So Williams, another 100-yard receiving game.
Yep.
Right. So that's his 5th straight 100-yard receiving game on the road, tying who for the AFC record?
AFC.
Brandon Marshall.
No.
Antonio Brown.
No.
Eric Decker.
No. It was a slightly further back.
Tom. Oh, hang on. No.
Rod Smith.
Famous Bengal.
Oh, Ochocinco.
Ochocinco. The NFL overall mark is actually 6, shared by 3 different players.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss.
No.
Chris Carr.
No.
Andre Johnson.
No.
Marvin Harrison.
No. You want some clues here?
Yeah, go on.
One of them's a very famous cowboy.
Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin. One of them's a very famous lion.
Calvin Johnson. Johnson.
One of them's a very famous niner.
Jerry Rice.
Twice. Okay. Twice with Rice.
No, Rice.
Because he is the
Jerry
goat.
Rice.
Because he is the goat. That concludes our first half. It's time for a quick break. Let's open the second half with a crazy back-and-forth affair between two teams that want to return to former glories but don't quite have their stars aligned to do so. Picture this. It's 2022. Pete Carroll is 89 years old. Dennis Allen is in charge of a team again, and both Andy Dalton and Geno Smith are under centre. Geno was awesome, by the way.
Brilliant.
But no one out-awesomes Taysom Hill. 4 scores on the night as the Saints beat the Seahawks 39-23. I really enjoyed this game.
It's 39-32.
Sorry, 39-32. I just wrote this the wrong way around.
Can I just say, I picked up Taysom Hill on free agency in our fantasy league.
He's available in most leagues because you can't...
You go from 30 points to 0 points week in, week out.
He's got more rushing yards this year than Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Alvin Kamara.
Wow.
Yeah.
The thing is, when he's under centre, they know what he's going to do. He only threw one pass, which, by the way, went for a touchdown. But every other time,
because everyone's expecting him to run.
Yeah, because
that's the point.
Every other time he took off and run, and no one laid a hand on him. It was ridiculous.
It's like Iron Robin when he's down the right wing. You're like, you know what's going to happen, but no one ever fucking stops it. And Taysom Hill is exactly the same. No, you know what he's going to do. He's going to pick up the ball and run away, and no one ever stops him. It's brilliant in its simplicity. I fucking hate it.
The best quarterback on the night, though, was actually Geno.
Yeah, he was so good.
Three touchdowns again. No picks.
Yeah.
I didn't catch his yardage.
268.
Not bad. Geno currently the sixth-rated fantasy quarterback, by the way.
Yep.
That's just nuts.
Like, yeah, no, I understand it means nothing. Apart from when your fantasy quarterback is Russell Wilson, it's time to pick up Geno Smith.
It's
starting
to annoy me.
Hello.
He's seventh in my power rankings.
He's been brilliant. He's been really, really good. He looks like a leader. He's actually got the team listening in the huddle. It's incredible how much he's grown up and developed. You know, bearing in mind, this was a man who had his jaw broken by his own teammate in 2014 or whatever it was, 2015.
Yeah. I always feel like it's so harsh that's negatively, you know, put against him when...
Imkampale punched him in the face.
Over like
$20?
$20 or something, yeah.
Yeah, but Brian Robinson got shot in the ass.
He did indeed get shot in the ass. Not by his own teammate, though, as far as I know. The Saints, starting Andy Dalton for the second week running. Is this Andy Dalton's gig to lose?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he threw an interception on Sunday, but...
Without Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara again.
I think he's a safer option than Jameis Winston.
If they can win with Taysom being the gadget player, yeah. I think it works better with Andy Dalton.
But it's not as fun, is it?
It's not as fun. You're not going to get 30.
You get the
30.
Fun factor from Taysom Hill, though.
That's true.
Yeah, but you also get the fun of 500 yards passing and 8 interceptions.
Late in games.
Yeah.
It's certainly something I am surprised to have seen. I know it's the injury has effectively led us to this place, but
I'm surprised both these teams have now got the same record.
Yeah.
Both 2-3. I would have. I mean, we said it at the beginning of the season. Seahawks should not be 2-3. Saints should be better than 2-3.
Yeah, Saints.
Based on the roster.
Saints on week one.
Yeah.
Saints on week one. You looked and you thought actually there's a team here.
Yeah.
The Seahawks, they're surprising me. Just to think, this is Geno Smith's breakout because there's nothing to come
he's
back.
He's 32
to.
Or something.
There's
yes,
nothing to come back to. He's never, done anything.
32's not old for quarterback.
No. I understand.
Should have another good 5 years in him.
The Black Tom Brady.
Exactly. He's so 5 years, not 50.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, he's doing.
Doing all right.
Doing all right. The mad thing is. It seemed that they were going to pick Drew Lock before the season started.
Yeah, but he does seem to meet that wonderful criteria of not being Drew Lock.
It's a good thing to have. But
Brian Hoyer's that.
Who was the leading receiver in this game?
Because
I did not write this down.
It was Tyler Lockett, 5 receptions, 104 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Because there was a touchdown that was also cancelled off to him, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
The
guy's good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Just a bit.
And then you realise maybe the team was good and Russell Wilson wasn't that good.
Well, it's starting to look like that,
isn't it strange to think that the two teams involved in this, the Broncos and the Seahawks, have not really changed where they sat from last year, despite the one big asset moving from one to the other?
You always see with a trade, there's one team who wins and one team who loses. And I like a trade where both lose.
we'll get on to the Broncos, but... I feel for Russell Wilson having to go in and play for that bald bollock.
I mean, you say we're going to go to the Broncos. They are last tonight on the running
board. If we spend more than a minute on that game.
I mean, one more thing on this game. Rashard Penny is injured.
Yes. So imagine if your fantasy team is so crap that I imagine I lost both games again this week. I didn't look.
You lost to me in...
Then I guess I lost both games again this week.
I beat Gary twice this week.
But imagine if your best running back...
Man, he's not here.
Lost to me, though.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, but he is currently reclining in a £6,000 bed. So £7,000 bed with our suites from Toot Suites.
Toot Suites. Tootsuites.shop on Instagram.
Thanks, John. Very professional. Unlike Gary, who can be asked to turn up
with our suites.
Jesus. Right. The Saints' victory allows them to tie the Falcons to second in the NFC South behind the Bucks, who led by 3 scores late in the third quarter before Mariota and co got up and running. Lenny showed up big for the week with Tampa. Whilst without Peterson, Patterson and Pitt, the Falcons look sunk. This one ends 15-21. I mean, what did anybody really learn about either of these teams? What we learned in this game was roughing the pass will always be called on Tom Brady, whether he's a Patriot or a Buck. Because it was never roughing the pass.
Such a bullshit call.
The NFL officiating account. Do you remember Jesus.
They did this a couple of years back, didn't they? Where the whole bodyweight rule thing, they went off like a car alarm in the night. Suddenly, as soon as it...
Oh, yeah, because every Clay Matthews sack was ruled off for about 3 weeks. Yeah.
Well, because he started doing the thing where he was landing with his arms up, but he was trying not to hit anybody. It was bizarre.
And it seems to be happening again. We'll come on to the Chiefs later, but this is another example where he just tackled Tom Brady. Yeah, it was a hard tackle, but there's nothing wrong
with
it.
But Brady still had the ball. It's not like he was late. It was bizarre. He didn't land with his full body weight on top of him. He tried to spin over. Yeah. I don't know what else you're supposed to do. It was a good tackle.
Tackle Tom Brady.
It's one of those things that obviously something's been said to NFL referees. I think after this week, something will also be said to them again and go, all right, yeah, turn it down a little bit.
I often wonder whether once one or two starting quarterbacks go down, the refereeing is directed to make sure you protect the remaining starters so we don't have this sort of flurry of terrible backups playing each other every week.
It's good fun, isn't it?
Well, sometimes it's good fun.
Yeah, but you don't want an Andy Dalton, Geno Smith Super Bowl, do you?
I mean, I would support Geno Smith in the Super Bowl. Not sure about Andy Dalton. Yeah, Geno in the Super Bowl? Yes, please. I would take
that. Seahawk. I can't.
But he's a starter if it carries on. A Drew Lock Super Bowl.
That's true.
It's like a Star Wars Christmas special, that, isn't
it? It just leads further sort of credence to those who think it's a conspiracy, doesn't it? Like,
does, yeah.
And it's Bogle, the referee, was Bogle who was pushed aside from the playoffs last season, and he's had a few bad calls this year.
He was a good referee, though. Yeah. He had a couple of bad calls. Again, I mean
Boga, it's not Bogle.
Bogle.
Bogle's a dance.
Why?
You're thinking of Omar Bogle, the footballer, aren't you?
Again, this is one of those decisions that it's not reviewable by, either challenging, you can't challenge it, or it's not reviewable by New York. But surely someone could just look at it and go, ref, you've got that wrong, pick up the flag. Because everything
was,
can be reviewed.
It was a bad time as well, wasn't it?
This can't, though, those can't be reviewed.
No, but what I mean is everything theoretically could be, and that's what they don't want to get into.
But everyone looked at it, and it comes back to, five guys in a pub watch that, and they go, nah, that's not a
problem. Yeah. That's the best way to run it.
Yeah. But it was beautifully timed for the Bucks because they would have had to punt.
Yeah.
And it would have... At times this year, Mariota has won games right at the end and it would have given him a chance to do that.
Or at least come close. Yeah.
They were catching fire a little bit. They did
it's
okay
just
in the
poor.
End.
It's, if you think that Brady gets all these sort of calls, doesn't help that sort of...
A quick word. Kyle Pitts and Patterson both missing. What else do the Falcons have? It's like Mariota wasn't the lead rusher this week. I think it was Algier.
No, Mariota was.
Oh, well, he was the lead rusher.
61 yards, 7 carries.
And this is my point. It wasn't that great a performance of them because they don't have Cordarrelle Patterson carrying the ball and there's no threat downfield without Kyle Pitts.
Drake London, but he's a rookie.
And there is the issue. They don't have a lot to fall back on. What are they now? 2-3?
2-3.
They've got Russell Gage. No, he's playing for the Bucks.
Yeah. They don't have a lot in the cupboard, so they can't afford to lose these skill position players who are some of the best in the league.
They are very good, but yeah.
I mean, also, they do have probably one of their best wideouts sat at home because of bullshit.
I know, that just makes me angry. Right, that leads us on to the 49ers' decimation of a poor Panthers team. 37-15, a result which saw Matt Rhule fired to absolutely no one's surprise. The Panthers bottom of the South and holding the first overall pick after 5 weeks. Rhule is done. Baker is injured. Tepper lost his temper. Now what?
Fuck those.
So, firstly, Steve Wilks has been appointed interim head coach. Remember Steve Wilks? Remember what he's famous for?
The one-and-done Arizona coach.
The one-and-done Arizona coach. He has no chance of being their head coach next season. Not a chance.
The guy who... a leadership team went, I don't know, Cliff Kingsbury's better than this guy.
Exactly. Bear in mind, he was the guy saddled with Josh Rosen.
There is that as well.
So he's never really had a shot, and I don't think he has a shot this year. He's just there to make sure they keep the number one pick.
I mean, they take premier front row seats to start courting Sean Payton for the next couple of months.
Why would you go there if you were Sean Payton?
You get to rebuild a new franchise. Well,
it's going to take you 5 years.
Getting $840,000 a month to sit on his ass.
Yeah, he's enjoying it.
Where do you sign up?
Brian Robinson would love to sit on his ass.
The only thing stopping that happening before the end of the season is that the Saints still own his rights.
I understand that.
And realistically, in division, are the Saints going to give anything?
No. No, of course they're not. I mean, no one's going to disagree with the decision. Did Matt Rhule give you anything to think that he would get a second shot in the NFL? Because
no.
I didn't see anything out of it.
I didn't see anything at all.
Yeah, but Chip Kelly got a second shot.
Yeah, but that was for the 49ers.
Chip Kelly had a winning record with the Eagles by quite a distance. He was about 9 games over 500 when he went to the Niners. Like, he wasn't... Matt Rhule is, what, 11 and 30 or something? Or?
Something like that.
Didn't they say that Tepper came out and said that we won't accept mediocrity as a team and they're 11 and 33 afterwards?
Well, that's not mediocrity, to be fair. That's piss poor.
I think there's only two coaches who've got a worse record than him after 25 games. One of them is Vic Fangio for the Broncos. I can't remember the second one.
Well, I also thought I saw...
Hugh Jackson.
I thought I was reading or listening to something today that said the Panthers have only had 5 head coaches and he's 5 of 5. Like, he is the one with the least winning percentage.
It's going to bug me who that other head coach is. Come to me later.
Thanks very much.
Vance Joseph at the Broncos.
He never got to 25 games.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's not a team, like, dripping in successful history. Well, like, we Ron got them to a Super Bowl.
Hey, they were AFC champions.
I know.
It's more than Philip Rivers could say.
But, like, Ron's been a coach for 12 years. He's got 3 winning seasons.
NFC champions.
Let me take the piss out of Rivers, all right?
But yeah, you know, they're just a shit team, aren't they?
Well, they shouldn't be, but it's not gone well under Tepper's tenure.
Nice.
Try saying that, John.
No, don't.
Nope.
But also, how much blame do you have to put on Rhule versus the GM? Because they've not sorted out the quarterback position.
No, they really haven't. So they've tried to muddle through with...
Gamble with...
Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Bringing Cam back.
Yep.
Bringing in Baker after he'd fallen from grace, not necessarily on his own doing.
A draft at some
Teddy.
Teddy as well.
Who has probably been the best one of the bunch, because he was. They've had PJ Walker, who was in and out of the lineup, and actually, out of Darnold, Baker, and PJ Walker, he's been the best one.
PJ Walker's is going to be, because he only comes in for a game, no one's got any tape on him. He just does, you know.
Do you not think he's their version of Jacoby Brissett, though? Like, he can actually do this.
No, if you played 3 games, by the third game, everyone would know what's going on, and he'd be the worst version of what
it's just not good
Baker
enough.
Is. Yeah.
They should have kept
Teddy. They just need to commit to something. Yeah. They don't have a style. But they don't have a play. They don't have... Every time they get a new quarterback, they're looking for the next one.
I don't
commit
think
to something.
I don't think Will can blame the GM. Because Rhule's gone, my quarterback shit. And you know, surely Rhule's a part of that process where they're going, well, what about Baker? Well, yeah, give me him. And he's shit. At some point, you have to go...
Don't forget how much money they gave Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
And Rhule committed to that and said, this is the guy I wanted. And by the end of the season, he was the guy that nobody wanted.
Yeah. There was a great photo of a bloke at a bar wearing a 14 Panthers shirt and he'd taped over Darnold and just written... anyone else.
I mean, yeah, basically now.
But yeah, they're killing careers.
Steve Wilkes is there to ensure they are the number one team. And back to what we were saying earlier, CMC will be on the trade block, Jeremy Chinn will be on the trade block, Brian Burns will be on the trade block,
DJ Moore.
Actively courted.
Robbie Anderson. They're all. It's going to be a complete fire sale.
Well, Robbie Anderson will remain.
They are saying CMC won't be traded, which of course is just bluff. But as well, I'm seeing Bills heavily.
Do you not think that they would relish the opportunity to get rid of a guy who's going to get injured again at some point? They've got Chuba Hubbard. What more do you want?
Well, you'd want Christian McCaffrey. But if I was Christian McCaffrey, I'd be saying, get me out of there. Get me to a decent team. Because as well, the Bills aren't just going to... every play... You can see Mayfield's under so much pressure. He's like, where the fuck's McCaffrey? Because he's going to be the one closest to me. Yeah. He needs to go to a decent team that aren't just going to try and basically destroy his knees. Get him out. Get him to the Bills.
They might as well get rid of everyone on the basis that whoever your backups are, they're not going to be very good. You've got your one win for the season. You gain nothing by going anything other than 1-16.
Get some trades. Get some money off the block.
Get some draft capital.
Get some draft capital. Be, you know, it's fine, you know.
But then the question is, who do you bring in as a head coach? Because at the moment, I don't know. Anyone apart from Sean Payton, they're not going to go down the college route again after Matt Rhule.
You just give the season to Steve Wilks and then you pick the next Kevin O'Connell, the guy in Miami.
D'Amico Ryan.
But they didn't, did they? They've got a guy from college.
Yeah.
You get...
It was hired. I mean, like when he was hired, we all... most of us were very up on it.
Told me he was good, Jim.
He was a good coach. He was courted by a lot. Yeah, you know, David Tepper went and camped outside his house.
But Cliff Clinkernuts will be up for a job.
I mean, to be fair, Steve Wilks will be leaving, so it's the circle of life.
Okay, 3 games to go. 2 of them stunk, so let's instead feast upon the glory of Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs coming from 17 down 7 minutes into the second quarter before deciding to play ball and go toe-to-toe and beyond against an unlucky Raiders team, which now finds themselves mired at 1-4, way back from the Chiefs' 4-1 record atop of this division. Derek Carr and Devontae Adams look great together. Josh Jacobs was immense. Amazing. And the Raiders should be better, but they're not. So I'm looking at McDaniels.
So I told you I wanted to share with you last week a story about McDaniels. And I found the video. I haven't got it now. But the Broncos went 8-8, didn't they?
Yes.
Now,
with Tim Tebow.
They were 6-0.
Yeah.
Until one of the assistants was caught filming the other team's practices.
Yeah.
Mini Spygate. they then lost 6 on the trot.
Yeah.
I don't trust McDaniels. They were very unlucky to lose this game, don't get me wrong.
They've been unlucky to lose a couple of games. Like, they're not getting blown out of any game.
No, their combined loss points total is not a lot, but
no.
I'm sorry, if you lose from 17 points up, it's not unlucky. You're shit.
Hey, Ravens.
I don't know. Yes, yes.
If a football team is 3-0 up and they lose, you say that team was shit.
I wasn't particularly meaning this game. I think in general, over the course of the season so far, they haven't been a team deserving of being 1-4. They have played much better.
When you see teams at
5 touchdowns in 5 games?
I think more. Yeah.
The combined points total of what they've lost games is by 14 points. Across 4 games. I don't think you can say. You look at that team, and they're not getting blown out of games. There's potential there to win a couple of games. Just takes a bit of, you know, they're getting used to each other.
They were 17-0 up.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's.
Here's
the other thing.
Point. They're playing one of the best teams in the league.
But I think a lot of it is down to the McDaniel system, the Patriot system that he runs, is incredibly difficult to pick up. So the opening quarter is scripted. So the players have rehearsed what they're going to do. It's when they have to go beyond that. The verbiage isn't going in. So when audibles are called, no one's really sure what they're doing. And it shows, because the only thing they had was either hand the balls to Josh Jacobs, which worked really well, or wait for Devontae Adams to get some separation and hurl the ball down. There's a couple of those catches, the long catches, the touchdown, and the one that he went down on the less than a yard line.
Yep.
Were brilliant.
There's also one where his own player took him out as well.
Yeah, so right at the end, and this is what I mean by unlucky.
Yeah.
The ball was absolutely perfectly placed from Derek Carr, and Hunter Renfrow and Devontae Adams ran into each other, both looking at the ball. They would have been home to win the game.
It goes to being unlucky. I mean, also, you could say the officiating made them unlucky as well, because the last Kelce touchdown, Max Crosby isn't held, he's restrained. He's like hogtied.
Pro Max Crosby.
Leading the league in sacks, Max Crosby.
We should...
in my eyes, he is.
We should discuss Travis Kelce, by the
team
way.
In sacks.
Career game.
Career game, 4 touchdowns, Travis Kelce. He is the best tight end in the game at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
100%. And it's notable that the tight end on the other team, who was one of the best tight ends, Waller, not really showed up this season.
No, I'm really disappointed in him.
Yeah, he's not that anything at all.
But I mean,
injured this game.
Yeah, I don't think the Chiefs are as good as they've been in the past, but they will always be able to win games.
Joint top.
They
when they've got Mahomes, Kelce.
They've got Mahomes and Kelce. And there was some really great power running from both Jacobs and McKinnon in this game.
Mm.
It was really fun.
It's lovely.
But I'm sorry, if any team is 17-0 up, I expect a result. Even against Mahomes. I know he's a cheat code sometimes. You know, but as well, another horrible roughing the passer call on this
one.
Because Carr had... He'd fumbled, hadn't he? So,
yeah. It was, again, never was it a roughing the passer.
Nope.
It was Chris Jones.
Chris Jones.
And he just grinned. Like, he could not believe he was flagged for that. It was crazy.
It's just going to be impossible to play defense if you keep calling those.
Yeah.
Right. Remember how some of us thought the Jags were improving? Well, in this week's shit the bed performance of the week, they contrived to lose 13-6 against a woeful Texans team. Lawrence has been shaky for a couple of weeks now. Last week against the Eagles was expected because they're really good. But this was bad. Still, Damon Pierce looks good and the Texans might just be showing enough to keep Lovie Smith on board for another year. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they're going to want to go one and done.
Yeah, but this is so Texans. You have the process to get that quarterback of the future in this quarterback-heavy draft and you'll end up drafting like fifth. Because they're just...
How did Davis Mills do this week? Was he any good at all?
16 for 24, 140 yards.
And that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a really poor Alex Smith. He's just there to manage the game and hope that Pierce or whoever it may be at step up. Nico Collins has been decent. They have one or two pieces. When you said earlier the Bears is the worst roster, I would contend the Texans is as bad. I've been thinking about it since you said that. They've got nothing. Their best running back up until this week was Rex Burkhead.
But they've got Brandon Cooks and they've got Derek Stingley.
Yes.
Damian Pierce, apparently.
They've also got Laramie Tunsil.
He is still there. Yeah, You're right.
He's still there, yeah.
So you couldn't name a single O-line player for the Bears, could you?
I would struggle. Is Jerome Bushrod still playing?
Without Googling, I'll...
No, he's not. I promise you, Jerome Bushrod is not still playing.
I'll wait. it's good podcasting.
I can name you a similar number of players from the Bears.
But I can name three players. Three players who would make other teams.
Yeah, I would say that Darnell Mooney...
Darnell Mooney's good.
David Montgomery.
Roquan Smith.
It's a similar thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Stingley is...
I don't think there's much between the two.
Riley Reiff?
Oh, yeah.
Bless you.
Yeah. I know who he is. Right, okay. So we've made the point they're both pretty poor rosters.
They're both shit.
The difference being the Bears have the better quarterback, which at the moment is not something I thought I'd be saying, but he is improving. Davis Mills has probably peaked.
Yeah.
But we're not spending enough time, all right? We're talking too much about the Texans when it's the Jags who we should be talking about.
Yeah.
How dare they lose to this team?
Thank you, Paul. I couldn't agree more. So Trevor Lawrence started the season and we all said, oh, the coaching last year was so bad. Look at him. And now he's had two stinkers in a row.
He's still young.
I know, but come on.
He's still got that Maya stink on him.
What did you say earlier? He trajected. I want to see him traject upwards. I don't. How can you lay an egg in this game? You just can't do that. Two interceptions, no touchdowns. I don't know what his yardage was. I can't remember.
286.
Yeah, that's not bad. But when you've got Travis Etienne, what did Christian Kirk do this week? Nothing.
I know, he's in my fantasy team.
And like, he's key. They have to get the ball to him. The games when they've been good, he's been the lead receiver. Yeah. The games when they've been bad, he's been non-existent. They have to.
I mean, the thing that is, I know I don't like win percentages when it comes to quarterback stats, but he's lost to the fucking Texans, and I'm sorry, it's just not good enough.
No, I agree.
That is appalling.
That's enough on that nonsense. Yeah. And finally,
oh God.
The Colts beat the Broncos 12-9, might as well be 12-0, on Thursday Night Football. Both quarterbacks were picked off twice, and this hunk of crap dared to go into overtime. Stephen Gilmore may be on for Defensive Player of the Season.
That team is not.
Because, you know, he keeps being the reason the Colts are actually staying in games. Imagine if your team let him go. That would be heartbreaking.
Oh, God, no. God forbid Russell, you get a sixth round pick and make him wonderful.
Russell Wilson, it's not working. And, I mean, Matt Ryan survived sack, fumble, like interception, and still managed to guide the Colts to the win. I don't know if I've got anything positive about this game.
Anyone comes out of this game and go, even Frank Wright's like, yeah, we won, but that was shit.
The best thing I heard is that Amazon were unhappy with this game.
Oh, yeah, because it was their game. Well, I'm not surprised they were unhappy.
The funniest thing I heard was late in the game where I think the Colts were first and goal, and the commentator, Al Michaels, was, well, I never thought I'd be saying that in this game.
Yeah.
It was just turd.
You want to... Yeah, should we just leave this one where it is? There's literally nothing.
There's nothing to say. It's turgid. We're bringing back turgid for this.
The Colts are crap. The Broncos are crap. Russell Wilson's crap. Nathaniel Hackett's crap. Frank Reich's on his way out. He's crap.
I think we know what Jim thinks.
Like, that's just shit.
But it just seemed to be like both teams have papered over the cracks. Just in terms of, well, we got a new quarterback. Great.
I had Friday off last week. I was tempted to stay up and watch it. Thank fuck I didn't. I was in a worse mood about this game.
Yeah.
Just shit.
Imagine how much you're going to enjoy watching Frank Reich in charge of the Panthers next
year. I have a friend who's got Amazon, and she was like, oh, I'm trying to get into NFL. Shall I watch this game? Oh. And I was like, oh, probably don't bother because the boat.
Start with Red Zone.
Yeah. God, oh, it's awful.
Right. It's one of our favourite times of the season as we started the power rankings. John, over to you to tell me how flawed my choices were when compared to everyone else.
This is going to be the one where we're so out of whack with each other, right?
Not really.
No? That's promising.
Yeah.
Should we go
bottom up? I want to work I want to go bottom up, John. Like you do.
Well, everyone but Jim went with Carolina.
Oh, really?
As 32nd.
Oh, Carolina.
They don't have a head coach.
Thank you. Are you searching for that soundbite?
And all their quarterbacks are injured.
they've got PJ Walker. I'd rather have PJ and Duncan at this point.
Yeah. Just above them is...
the Commanders, surely.
Washington Red Pandas.
You know, they're both my bottom two, to be fair.
Yeah, I think they're
not... Oh, yeah, everyone has had them in, apart from... what was it? Gary had the Texans below the Commanders, but... He didn't watch the game. He was sitting in his £7,000 mattress. So
eating my sweets from
just above. So Texans, Bears, Steelers, 28th the Steelers. Fucking hell, that's shit.
Ever been that
fallen a long way?
Lions, Falcons, Indianapolis Colts at 25, Las Vegas Raiders at 24. Which actually sort of flatters them, 1-4.
But they're unlucky to be 1-4, John. That's the point.
They're still shit. It's a power ranking. It's where are they gonna? Are they gonna appear in the playoffs?
Do I think they could beat all of the teams you'd name below them? Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
I could. They'd also lose to them.
But I think
they'd lose to them by 7 points, in because they did something stupid, like the Colts. Above Las Vegas are the Seahawks, who are at least trying. 22nd, Jacksonville Jaguars. Below the Broncos, Cardinals at 20, Browns at 19, New York Jets at 18th, which is the highest we've ever had them.
Is it really?
We've never had them placed outside of a position beginning with 3.
That can't be true.
I have 2019, 2020, 2021 are here. Their position has never not started with a 3.
To be fair, the first year we did this podcast was...
Gase.
Todd Bowles.
The power rankings are all Gase years.
No, but I mean, we started with Todd Bowles and like 5 wins would be a result.
Yeah.
Oh God!
Hang on. So I haven't heard the Patriots' name called out. If they've been called already, that's a bit high for me.
Well, you.
I had them in the 20s.
19th.
Everyone had them. So 16, 17, 18, 19. Everyone sort of had them at that level, but because like the Jets range from 16th to 20th. And because the averages, that's why they're 17th. Mm-hmm. Saints at 16, Bengals at 15, Dolphins at 14, Rams at
13. Dolphins, by the way, would have been higher if they had either one of their starting quarterbacks available.
Yeah, well, if they hadn't played fast and loose with Tua's brain,
yeah,
they'd be a 5-0.
Probably.
But they did. They decided, well, fuck it, let's just play around with his...
bad back.
Bad back, yeah.
Terrible back. Because so, it was a brain. It's a very bad back.
Yeah, they got to sort their doctors out.
Both Los Angeles teams together, so Chargers at 12th. Titans at 11.
By the way, who ranked the Chargers the lowest?
Me.
You and Gary.
Good.
Really?
13th. 10, 11, 11, 13, 13.
Good.
Titans at 11. The New York Giants at 10.
I'm getting a nosebleed, man. Honestly.
They range from 6 to 14.
Six. I had them high.
Who has them at 6?
I had them high. Yeah.
Don't point on a podcast. Griff.
I am absolutely on board with the Giants.
For fuck's sake, you've ruined it.
I know.
6 is a bit.
Just below 9th, Packers. 8, Vikes. 7, Bucks. 6th, Cowboys. 5th, 49ers. Then the Ravens. And now the good teams. You've got 3, Kansas City Chiefs. 2, Eagles, and 1, the Buffalo Bills.
Was I the only person who didn't put the Eagles second?
No. Oh, yeah, you were. Yes, so me and Paul had them at 1. Jim and Gary had them at 2, and you had them at 3. I think the top 3, yeah, you could have them in any orders. Yes.
I think I had Bills, Chiefs, Eagles.
Yeah, I'd be Bills, yeah. Eagles, Chiefs.
I had Eagles, Bills, Chiefs.
As John knows, every time we do this, I divide my teams up into groups of 4.
Yes.
And I do it by which group would definitely beat the next group. And then it doesn't really matter where you are in that group of 4. You're all the same. Because I really believe it's that close a lot of the time. I don't.
It is, yeah. I always go, is this number 1 team going to beat this number 2 team?
I had your Niners in 4th.
I had the Niners in 6th. I had them below the Cowboys.
4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 7th.
Yeah.
So we compare this to where they were.
Which
week 1.
Yeah. Which team are you most surprised at? Out of that lot.
To me, I think...
I'll tell you this for now.
Titans always seem high. I don't think they're very good.
Last year's number one seed in the AFC.
They keep winning.
By the way, the Giants have now beaten both the AFC and the NFC's number one seeds from last year.
Bengals are confusing us. They go from 9th to 16th. There's no massive... Compared to some... Like it's been some years... There's been no massive, I think the biggest difference is about 6, which is not that bad for us. We've had like 12.
I would say the team that I was most surprised that I could put high up was the Niners. If they were still starting Trey Lance, they would be somewhere in the late teens.
Yes.
What about if they're still starting Trey Lance and they had a 3-2 record?
Then I don't know. I don't think you would have. No, so I can't tell you that.
I mean, it's not a kid. I still don't think Jimmy's a good quarterback. I just think he's better for what you have now.
Yeah, it's just not a bad quarterback.
He's not a bad quarterback. And actually, when you get it, you're like...
I never thought the
Dallas Cowboys at 6, like...
Yeah, without Dak.
Without Dak.
Yeah.
I mean...
They lost with Dak, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never thought the Colts would be suffering this badly.
No, I just didn't see that coming.
I know it's not reflecting the power rankings, but the Colts might be the worst team in the NFL for me this year. Because they just are rubbish.
Give a passing quarterback no receivers.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing the face there, Paul. Okay. It is time to decide the sweetest play of the week. Brought to you by...
Toot Sweets.
At...
Shop.
Tootsweets.shop.
And who's got the Toot Sweets right now?
Gary and his £8,000 mattress.
Unbelievable. He's only scratching himself as well while eating them sweets. Yeah. That's nasty.
It's fair. He's probably at home watching the NFL because he was playing golf and missed it all.
I want no
priorities, Gary.
Does anybody want to nominate a sweetest player of the week?
Yes, I do.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with one of the Giants' touchdowns, the New York Giants. Daniel Bellinger's Philly special, but it ended up as a run rather than a pass.
Yeah.
The little trick play. Saquon to someone else, to Bellinger, running it in. It was great.
Anyone else?
Paul?
Oh, I just had the Saquon touchdown to give us the lead because I nearly passed out.
There's a couple. I will go beyond that game. Chubb's first touchdown was superb. I can't ignore a 98-yard touchdown.
I was also going to nominate that. That or was good. I was going to nominate... It's a tricky one for me, but I just wanted to nominate Taysom Hill. Four touchdowns. One for one passing with a touchdown. I mean, what? He was the sweetest player of the week for me.
Yeah, yeah. If there was, if we had an MVP of the week, it probably is Taysom Hill, which would be awful for Travis Kelce.
The referees were instrumental in deciding some games.
There are four of us at this table.
Quinnen Williams' handoff on Hill.
Yeah.
Just find it on
but Quinnen Williams is like, it's just,
but he
a mountain of meat.
Okay,
Devontae Adams' hand off of the cameraman.
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky one because there are four of us, and I also wanted to throw in the fact that Justin Tucker nailed the record 61st fourth quarter and overtime.
He's never missed a decisive kick, has he?
Not in a game. And so, how are we going to decide this one? I'm happy to remove myself from the voting and leave it to the three of you to try and come to a majority decision.
So can you run through the contenders again?
No, I can't remember them all. Daniel Bellinger,
which Jim saw in person, so I'm guessing he thought that was pretty special.
I'm going with Jim then.
Right. John, you're going to be outvoted because I'm not voted.
Gabe Davis. 98 yards.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, but it's just a straight yard run, isn't it?
Yeah, but it was fucking exciting.
Yeah, the quarterback who can throw long to a receiver who catches long. Yeah.
Okay, Jim, I'll go with you in person. Because you were there and that makes it all the sweeter.
Well, oh God, we're watching the... When we go to watch a team in person, it's fucking Jags Broncos. we can't pick a play, can we? It'll be a sack.
Let's ride out
of the stadium. Okay, so that's that taken care of. Paul, Cleveland Fran?
Yes, I'll be very, very quick. So in terms
nothing
of,
new there then.
In terms of Paul's thumb in a pun, I'm sticking with the Carolina Panthers because I understand there's loyalty to coaches and nobody wants to have that kind of Abramovich-style management as an owner where coaches fear for their job, right? Coaches are kept on for a while in the NFL. But what's the point of starting the season with a guy who hasn't performed, giving him another quarterback who's available, so he couldn't have been that good at his previous team.
For nothing as well. Available for nothing.
Yeah.
No, I've seen one of them.
Have you ever seen Moneyball?
Yeah.
Because it's that bit where he goes, he's talking to one of his pitchers. He goes, the Yankees fought so much of you, they're paying me $4 million to have you this year.
Yeah.
And that is what Baker Mayfield, most of his wages are being paid by the Browns. So
with the Panthers, there's no identity there. There's no... I don't understand how giving someone who wasn't performing the same tools to underperform, it's the literal definition of insanity.
I am doing what everyone else is doing here, Paul. I'm holding my breath trying to figure out whether you're rhyming something with Carolina or Panthers. Or
no, Paul. I was going to rule them out of contention.
Oh, there we go. It's such a bad joke every week. Just shocking. Can't believe I didn't see that coming.
I was going to go with the Carolina Shamphers, but...
No, I like yours. That's, yeah,
I'm going to rule them out of contention.
Yeah, nice.
That's really good for me. I'd written down here the do your job moment of the week. It goes to the officials, all of the officials. Aww. Just do a better job. Do a better job.
Do you know?
The roughing the passer calls were bullshit. Yeah.
And Raiders, fucking win if it's 17 points up.
I would have gone Russell Wilson personally.
Any other news? I mean, this really shouldn't be. This has gone on and on and on. So I'm going to assume not.
Hackett's still a bollock.
Has anybody looked ahead to the fixtures for the forthcoming week?
Yes.
Apart from Giants and Ravens.
Giants. Oh, no, it's Jets and Packers, isn't it?
Thank you. Sorry. Unbelievable, Jeff.
Well, you know.
What's the Thursday night game?
God,
Commanders.
Oh, God. Amazon would be delighted with that one as well.
NFL just hate Amazon.
They just want to see Richard Sherman angry.
So what are the Bears? 2-3?
Yeah.
They're about to be 3-0. That's just nuts.
Oh,
it'd be the worst 3-3 team ever.
Pats Browns could be quite fun.
I mean, you know, I never ever pick my team, but you would think with the defensive performances they've been putting up, they might just rip. I mean, it's Jacoby Brissett as well. Like, surely they're just going to just destroy him.
Oh, Sunday night football.
Go on.
Eagles, Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. What a game.
I mean, you've also got
Chiefs Bills.
Yeah, Chiefs Bills is going to be a hell of a game.
AFC Championship rematch.
I think also, you know, there's some real.
Oh, we've got teams on the bye this week.
Go on.
Lions, Titans, Raiders, Texans. So
no one's missing any of them.
If you've got any of those players in your team other than Devontae Adam, fucking you've got it wrong, mate.
Evan Ross and Brown.
He's been injured.
He had a great game this week, didn't he?
TJ Hockenson, he's been...
Yeah,
yeah, no. They're both of them scored 0 points this week against a ramshackle Bats team. Fucking yeah, sign me up. Well done.
I love it when John gets off the fence.
John's on one tonight.
He can't even see the fence.
But no, like the Pats, he wanted to fire the fucking head coach 2 weeks ago.
I'd still fire him now.
No, they've been shut out. It's the fucking shit. I love the Lions, but no.
I think that's fair. That sums it up. I like that Dan Campbell said that this was rock bottom, and you think, oh, it's going to be so much worse some week coming soon. You're going to get absolutely trounced. Right, that'll do for this week. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back for week 6 next week.
Bye.